We're on Dying Awareness Week. So we've been joined by the Champion Department within the Health Board, Cardiff Vale Health Board. Do you want to introduce yourself? Sorry.
Yeah, my name's Reverend Jason Tegwell. I'm the Chaplaincy Service Manager.
Sankuma, one of the top lanes.
And I'm the Reverend Des Kitto, and I'm also part of the Chaplaincy team.
Now, obviously, dying awareness is one of those conversations that we don't always have. I think you mentioned a moment ago to us before we started recording that although we'll be talking about it, it doesn't mean it's going to happen. Could you just expand on that, perhaps, if you can?
Yeah, well, Dying Awareness Week or Dying Matters Week, it was branded some years ago, and the tagline was just talking about it doesn't make it happen. And the importance we think, or I believe, of that is that when we're able to talk about it, you get the individuals' thoughts, feelings, emotions, and then it makes it so much more peaceful and calmer for the family that remain, the friends that remain, knowing what the individual wants.
As chaplains, we have to be there to support the family and support the person. And we also recognize that we're dealing with people of faith, but also of people with non-faith. And you have to be cognizant of how you deal with that. And I think one of the things that we do as a team is that we try to bring three gifts to a person and their family at that, what could be the last moments of their life.
So before we go into that then, Des, I was just going to say, because obviously you're in sort of people who may be listening to this, obviously, are fit and healthy. The importance of talking about this with their family, with their friends, with their particular church or wherever they get their faith from. Obviously, when you're involved, it's probably towards the latter part of somebody's journey through palliative care and also end-of-life care. So that's what you mean, and what you then bring and what support you can then give, is that right?
Yeah, because what I would also say is it's not just at that time that we are with the patients. We also visit patients where they're not end of life. And therefore, we as a chaplaincy team have to ensure that we deal with the patients as they are at that moment. And that can be, I'm sure my colleagues will agree, that can be on a physical or spiritual basis. Because it may be that a patient who, and the family maybe that is coming to the end of life, there's a physical presence that's necessary. We can anoint them. We can give them final communion. But this is a spiritual presence that we need to be there to spiritually hold the hand of not only the patient, but also the family. And remembering, too, that it is important that a nurse or a doctor that's been looking after that patient could also need the care when it comes to the end of life, because you may think that they say that they in the end, but to them, the patient is an individual, and therefore, you know, we need to be there throughout the journey, not just at end of life, but throughout the journey that they, when they come into the hospital, and then with them and with the parents, and in the case of children, or with the relatives, in the case of somebody who's just passed, we need to be there, sometimes not saying much, but our presence there is all that's necessary.
It's right, Des, you're right. One of the things that we talk about as chaplains, as our role, is what we would say is a ministry of presence.
Yeah.
And it's the being there. And sometimes I've been in situations that I recall one in particular, that the lady had just been told that she has a terminal illness, diagnosis wasn't good, and she was really upset. And she just said, they offered the services of a chaplain. I went to spend some time with this lady, sat down opposite her. And I said, this is horrible. You've been honest and open. And then for the next half an hour, she just talked and just spilt out her heart, her worries, her thoughts. I don't think I said a word. In fact, my introduction, and at the end of it, she said, oh, thank you ever so much. That is so helpful. And so it's that presence of just being there. And I'm thinking, I didn't say anything. but it's being. And individuals we treat, as I say, as individuals. So each situation, each family, each person, it's well led by them.
And also we provide support to staff, as you were saying as well, because obviously somebody had been nursing somebody maybe for a couple of months or a couple of weeks, or even a day perhaps. You know, it does have a knock-on effect, doesn't it, with staff as well?
It most definitely does. And we find that sometimes staff is professional. They're very professional and they do it day in, day out. But all of a sudden they've dealing with a patient or someone's passed that's reminded them of someone personal, or someone that in their own family that they've lost.
Yeah.
And because you can go for weeks, months, and we do ourselves. We'll go, I'll be very professional. We talk to people, do these end of life situations, and be what we can, that presence to the individual. Then all of a sudden you come across someone and it knocks you for six. It reminds you why you do what you do. And with the staff, it's being there for them as well, because they are human beings with a grief is a funny thing.
So as a chaplain, sorry.
Yeah. From the other religious point of view, this is one area that I may like to share, that alongside of what my other colleagues already pointed out about the ministry of presence, as Jason pointed out, that's so crucial and important. And from the other religious point of view, alongside of that, our presence is very much to do with human touch, because with a sense of loving, compassionate understanding of the situation where the patient is going through, and also talking to them, even though they might not be. We may think that they may no longer be hearing anything, but it's so important that they're still hearing and knowing of what our conversation. And also that with a human touch, just holding their hands. And sometimes with this very Hindu Bible, so to say, that this Bhagavad Gita written in Hindi word, and also praying a kind of mantra, and also of their rituals, or bearing in mind of the cultural sensitivity and religious sensitivity, and also their rituals and of all, and then playing very quietly of their own music or mantra, and that really helped them. I feel very much of that is alongside of our Christian approach to all. And then integrating with other religious affiliation of whenever that we are able to do that, that's really touching. And as Jason pointed out, that ministry of presence of each and everyone like this also pointed out. For other religious point of view, the family who are always with them, and then speaking to them and share with them, and with that very, end of life and palliative care patients that we're extending and caring for their families, especially in the Hindu context, is very, very important.
So putting all that in the context, that's really informative, to be honest with you, because I think when you come into a hospital, you're coming into an environment which is somewhat alien to you. It's not something you're used to. And obviously, you may have a continuing healthcare issue or whatever else. So you may be in hospital more and more often. How is it best then to prepare to have those conversations with your family? So when people do come into hospital and they call upon you to say, look, mum or dad or my son or my brother or whoever needs a bit of support, is it best to have that conversation at home when you're having a cup of tea or a piece of cake perhaps, just so you know, so your family are aware what you need and what you're looking for, really?
I think that's a personal choice. I think, yes, if you sit down, have a cup of tea, or over tea, over dinner, over Sunday lunch, however it is. For me, I think that's the best way to do it, because you are open. Because Sankuma has just said, how would we know that? How would the son, the daughter, the mother, the husband, partner, how would they know what the person wants. And I've been at end-of-life situations, and the family have said, we think this is what mum, dad, or whoever wants. And I've been at others, they would have wanted this. It's more of a definite. And so it does help just to have that conversation. That was my personal thought. It doesn't.
I think that was right. But then we've also got the people who are in denial of the fact that they're going to lose their loved one and perhaps are not able to sit down and talk to them. And that's hopefully a role that the chaplains could undertake, where they can come and talk to the chaplains, because the wards have quiet rooms as well. And if you're in intensive care, for instance, with a patient, sometimes you need to step back from that patient with the loved ones and just go and talk, because some people are in denial of the fact that you know, that this is, they're not going to see mum or dad after this period of time. So, and some people would find difficulty. I mean, it would be great if everybody could talk about it before they come in. Some people come in through A&E and death becomes unexpected. It's not something that, you know, their loved one is on a machine for a period of time. It's they've had an accident or they had an illness and they've come in suddenly, and then it hits them like a block of stone that suddenly they're going to be saying goodbye. And I think that's where all the chaplains, depending on faith and non-faith, we're all ready for that. And there is a time of taking a family away from a ward into a quiet room and perhaps introducing that quietly to them, so that, you know, it doesn't come as a shock, because we have an inkling of, obviously, because of what we are told by the medical staff, but we have an inkling of what we have dealt with in the past, of what that stage of that patient is. Luckily, we're not always right, that, you know, people do recover and come back from that, even though, you know, we are called to give an end-of-life blessing. It doesn't end of life. But, you know, it is recognising whether they have had that conversation at home, or whether we have to help them to have that conversation, perhaps with the members or staff or whatever, but take them away from the ward and perhaps just sit them down and have a cup of tea.
It's not easy to have that conversation, and we acknowledge that as well, that, you know, we can sit and say, oh, Dying Matters Awareness Week, you know, it's talk about, which is, we think, or most of us think, it's good to do, but we also recognise it's not easy to do.
No.
Yeah.
I think when people, no. you know, people prepare wills, they prepare their last power of attorneys, perhaps, or those type of things. We've discussed that, actually, as part of our awareness with this week, with the registrar's office, etc. So I think, though, it's sort of part of Dying Awareness Week, really, is getting people to actually reflect upon the importance of actually, do I really know what my loved one wants? Do I really know if, you know, should they come into A&E into an accident, which happened to anyone? Do I really know what they would want me to do? And I think that's a conversation I think you need to have before you're in that situation, ideally.
Yeah. As my background is, before I was a chaplain, I was a minister of a church, and we've all done more funerals than we would care to imagine and we'd ever want to do. But I've sat with families, and there's such a remarkable difference with the families. Like, we don't know. We don't know what our loved one wanted. What do you suggest? So the minister is leading that and asking, did they like this? Did they like that? As opposed to other times we've gone there and said, look, here's the list. This is what dad wanted. He wants this, 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 and this. And it's just so much easier for those after the fact to handle. And I would personally, just a number of months ago, I had my own preconceived ideas of what my own parents would want. And my mother had a spell in hospital. She's fine. But she turned to me one day and said, well, when I die, what I want is this, this, and this. I'm like, really? You was what? And, you know, she wants to go straight to the creme. She doesn't want a church service. I'm thinking, Mum, we've been born and brought up in church. The thing is what we do. But no, I don't want that. Don't want that fuss. I want just a creme service. So, you know, 45 minutes and that's enough.
Yeah. And I was taken aback because what I thought my mother would want is not what she's told me that she would want. So because it was just me in the conversation with her, I did say, write it down, Mum. So my brother and sister can't argue, you know, but and that's important, that conversation. And that's why I think it's important to have those conversations. Yeah.
And I think some families, when they come near the end, are afraid to have that conversation with them in case it makes the condition worse for their loved one. And I think this is why this particular week is important, to raise the awareness of it. It is okay to talk to people about what's going to happen at the end of it. And if you can't do it, use the chaplaincy and spiritual care team to help you do that. So you mentioned that there's a really good way to basically to probably end this conversation, perhaps, is obviously you got a chaplaincy team within the hospital. Obviously, people may be listening who are not in the hospital think, actually, we want you to obviously, there's a reason why you're based in the hospital. So if somebody's coming into hospital or somebody is undergoing treatment or they're having tests, etc., and they feel that they would want your support, how do they get hold of you? And also, what faiths do you actually provide support for?
Start off with the faith that we provide support for. We have different denominations of the Protestant Christian faith, and then we have the Roman Catholic priests, and these are on staff. We have two Muslim chaplains. That's our paid core staff. But we also have links in the community with the Sikh community, the Hindu community, Buddhists, the Buddhists, the Ravi Rose. You know. And so we've got good community links with the faith leaders around Cardiff and Vale. And so if we can't do it, we can get someone else in that can. And they're all very good at helping that. So that's to answer that part of the question. Contacting us, we've got... on the hospital website, we've got our contact details there. People can phone, they can email. There's the new QR code that's around other places as well. You just QR code and it makes a referral. And you can do that before you come into hospital. But if someone is in hospital and they can simply ask a nurse, any staff member, just say, can you get hold of the chaplains for me, please? And we'll take referrals from individuals. We'll take referrals from family members.
Even from the local minister. You know, a minister of a church may ring up and say, one of my communicants or one of my members is on a ward. Could you possibly visit them? In fact, for us, to know a person's religion and to know a person's want before they come in is a great advantage, because often people don't declare when they come into hospital what their religion is. So we have to ask questions, you know, it's because the way that certain religions will deal differently with a patient, for instance, the Muslims would deal differently. Even the Roman Catholics have rights that they would use that we as generic chaplains wouldn't do. So it would be good if people, you know, would are prepared to let the staff know whether somebody's of a particular religion or a sect or of none, so that then we can take that on board and we can factor that into our visits, etc. And your service is 24 hours a day, I take it as well.
So we cover the core hours of the day, 9 to 5. But emergencies, we are 24/7. So if it's an end of life or severe emotional distress and they need to speak to a chaplain, contact the hospital switchboard and they'll page one of us, because we'll call.
And obviously, to find out something about the UHSW, was obviously within both Llanbrock Hospital and the UHSW, you have quiet spaces, so which are like the chapel in both. How important is that for people who may just want to sit and reflect on what they've had in an outpatient meeting or that? So they are open, again, 24 hours a day?
Yeah.
So people want to check. I'm going to just say that as well as UHW and Landoc, there's a chaplaincy space both in St. David and also in Barry. And we also work very closely with Velindra. So, you know, there are spaces available in all those areas.
Can't afford infirmary as well. If there's Armenian outpatients, they've got a multi-faith room, a quiet room in CRI as well.
It's really important that people know that they're there. They wish to go and sit there and quietly have a reflection.
When I've spoken to a family, if I've been doing end-of-life prayers with a family, no matter what time of day or night, I always offer the space and just tell them open the space, whichever hospital I'm on, because whatever site it is, they can come and sit and quietly reflect, cry, write. We've got prayer books in there, so people can write some prayer requests or some thoughts. And so, we definitely do offer those spaces, and they're, as you mentioned, said, open 24/7.
May I encourage the different heads or surgeons or doctors or nurses or wardens of different departments to encourage their patients or staff who are going through this very tough time, like end of life and then also of palliative care, because for them, other faith and other religious affiliations to come out openly is so difficult. And that's why that they need to be encouraged to come forward. And then they will be able to render whatever support we could give to them. Yeah.
That's fantastic. Let's thank you for everything you do on behalf of the patients and people across Carlton Bay, Little Morgan. Thank you for your time today as part of this Awareness Week. And that was the Chaplaincy and Spiritual Care Department based at UHW.